to leave a message at my office, where no one had answered either. My cell phone was slowly losing battery strength atop a pile of CPS case files and maps, while tow truck drivers everywhere took coffee breaks away from their phones. Thanks to my son, who at 14 should have had no use for a cell phone car charger, I had no means of recharging my phone at the moment. I could see the plan for the day rapidly disintegrating from attack first day of field work with passion, vigor, and determination to the old tried and true motto of the past year, get by somehow, along with figure out how to change tire. I'd seen this done on TV a time or two, or possibly hike to safety. Taking a hopeful breath, I tried to sound calm as I answered the phone so as not to scare away whoever was on the other end. My mother's static-laced voice sent a strange mixture of relief and queasy dread through me. Mom and Dad hadn't wanted me to take the counseling position, and this snafu in the woods would only help to prove their point. On the other hand, I was as good as rescued, and even having a parent lecture you at 38 is better than being stranded in the middle of nowhere. Mom? Mom, can you hear me? I need help. She didn't answer. For a moment, I had the disheartening vision of my voice being lost between cell phone towers somewhere. Maybe I could hear my mother, but she couldn't hear me, which also meant that all those calls to tow truck drivers were a waste of what was left of the cell phone batteries. Mom, I need help. Mother was probably tired of those words after a year in which so many of our interactions centered on my need for help. I couldn't blame her. I was tired of it. I was tired of myself, tired of not being self-sufficient, tired of this weird dynamic in which, after 16 years of marriage, I was suddenly on my own again, destitute and back under my parents' thumb, living in their lake house. Hence, the job with Tuzinski & Associates, which was at the low-paying end of the counseling spectrum, but still a realistic means of rebuilding my life and supporting myself and my son. It was time to stop hanging on everyone else's apron strings, use the counseling degree I'd earned while my ex-husband was the vice chancellor of a lovely Christian college in Houston, and make a life of my own.
Andrea? Andrea?
Mother's voice crackled amid the static of a choppy connection.
Where? You? I barely hear.
Mom, you're not going to believe this, but I've got a flat. I need a wrecker. I'm out in the middle of no...
Andrea, I can't make out one thing you're saying. Pull to the top of a... and stop driving. Told you you'd have terrible reception out on the other side of the lake. What if your car breaks down or you get stuck in the mud? What then? It isn't safe. All kinds of riffraff live up there in the timber, and who knows sort of people might be hanging around the public beaches. Honestly, Drea... most of those roads are so deserted you could sit...
Wrecker! I need a wrecker! Mom? Hello? The line went dead, and when I tried to dial back, the phone just clicked and clicked and clicked, pinging towers in vain. Thus, I had to answer to the hasty question I'd spit into the air moments before. What could be worse than having a flat tire in the middle of nowhere when you're supposed to be at an appointment? Finding out that your cell calls aren't going through, and no wrecker is coming, and you really are all alone, and perhaps hearing the rumble of thunder somewhere in the distance on what had seemed to be a perfectly clear July afternoon.
No, no, no,
I whispered, or perhaps by then I was begging. If a storm hit, the dirt road I was standing on would rapidly become a quagmire of chalky, limestone-colored goo. Shading my eyes, I looked up, but the narrow strip of sky visible above the thick canopy of live oaks seemed harmless enough, just the gentle blue of central Texas summer, not a cloud in sight. The rumble grew, then waned, then grew again. A puff of breeze blew through, whipping a silty, white dust devil along the road. I turned my shoulder and squeezed my eyes shut, the force of the wind pushing dust through my clothing and into the pores of my skin. When the breeze died, the scent of dirt road and imminent storm remained, along with a faint noise I couldn't quite identify. Grit fell from